This morning, I want to continue with this spiritual journey. We talked last week about Jesus' mission statement. Before, we talked about Jesus being the propitiation. And today we come to Luke chapter 4, if you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. Have your Bible ready if you want to follow or on the screen. And our subject is the temptation of Jesus Christ. Last week we were talking about being on the mountaintop when we are feeling powerful spiritually. But now we're going to be talking about the other aspect of our spiritual journey. The temptation of Jesus Christ. His ministry start. Christ has been with the Father and in the Spirit. When Satan comes to tempt him. Now, Jesus is the Son of the living God. Jesus is equally divine. Jesus is equally eternal. He comes into humiliation in order to purchase salvation. Voluntarily subject himself to the malice and the hatred and the storm of temptation of Satan, his adversary. But Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit. Being full of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, is the constant goal and lifelong pursuit of all believers. Because it's only then that we can stand. I'm going to read just verse 1 before we pray. Shall we read together just verse 1 before we pray and explore this beautiful passage? Let's read together. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Let us pray. Father, we place into your hands this time we are about to spend together around your word. Father, we want to walk with you. We want to follow you. And in our journey, we know we are going to find temptations. Wilderness. Help us to learn from you. So bless our time together, Lord, because we come in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Before we go to the three temptations, let's see the preceding events. And this confrontation was so profound. This is, let's try to understand, this is not something that we just read a story about Jesus. No. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they give us this account. The book of Matthew is different from the Gospel of Luke. We are going to read from Luke. Matthew is the historical order of temptation, the chronological order of temptation. But the Gospel of Luke that we are reading has some theological order. It's the same temptations, but he placed this order with something for us to learn. Now, Charles Erdman says, the order of Luke takes us back to the story of Eden and to the first human sin, which was due to a love for that which was good for food and delight to the eyes and to be desired to make one wise. So here we have a chronological order and we are going to see it, but with some theological background. Now, there are some people who do superficial studies about this passage. And people say, well, this is only about gluttony, covetousness, and pride. Fine. But it's something deeper. It's something more profound here. Let's read the context. Let's turn to the chapter before, chapter 3, verse 21. Let's see how everything starts before the temptation. And I'm going to read Luke chapter 3, verse 21. And we read that when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. Jesus has been obedient to the Father. He didn't need to be baptized, but he said, I'm going to be baptized. And in that moment, heavens are opened, and a voice says, this is my beloved Son. I am pleased. What a tremendous affirmation. of his mission and his sonship. Now, verse 1 that we read, then, this is Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. It was the most barren and horrible place in all Israel. It has deep ravines, and it was barren. The animals could not be pastured there. It was a horrible place. The Mark Gospel says there were wild beasts there. It was a horrible place, and Jesus is alone. Now, this is the place there. But we need to, why we are reading from Luke? Because when we read from the other gospel, it seems that Jesus, after the 40 days, he's tempted. But let's read verse 2 from the book of Luke. He says, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing. And afterward, when they have ended, he was hungry. This experience was necessary. Jesus has to experience what we experience as humans. The temptation came to Jesus. It can come to me and to you at any time. And now here, he is filled with the Spirit. Remember, he is filled with the Spirit. He is filled with power. Everything is in his favor, and yet he is tempted. So be careful. And every time I read this, I remembered 1994. I was with the senior pastor of a church in San Antonio, and I was full of the Holy Spirit. And then the pastor said, be careful. And you know what? The next week, I fell. Temptation can come to you and to me when we are on a high. And then also, he is exhausted. He is weak. Now, we need to be careful about this, because while God never tempts us in the sense of enticing us to sin, it does seem to be part of his gracious purpose to allow us to be tested. These experiences come while guided by the Holy Spirit, and the essence of these temptations usually consists in some inclinations to please ourselves. And sometimes we tend to forget the promises of God. So I invite you to read this passage, having in mind that God will not come to tempt you. But it's interesting that the Holy Spirit was there. Hence the importance to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, let's see how Satan attacked our sinless Savior in three times. First temptation. Satan tempted Jesus to doubt God's love. Shall we read together? Satan tempted Jesus. He said, well, Jesus, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. You need it. You know, you are hungry. Yes? You are hungry. This temptation was in this fear of bodily appetite. Jesus knows what is to be, you know, hungry. He cannot use his power. He can use his power. Why he cannot use it? Because people can say, well, Jesus, okay, he knows what is to feel hungry, but he has power. He can do it. He has to endure it. One scholar says, this section can only hope to succeed when combined with partial truth. You remember the garden? The serpent comes. Do you know this is, that's true, but this is, what about this? That's temptation. The devil is saying, you are starving. It sounds reasonable. But it will destroy the plan of salvation. It seems to be inoffensive. Satan was aware of the incarnation. Jesus voluntarily set aside the independent use of his divine power. Satan says, abandon your mission. Abandon your missions. You are the Son of God. Tell these stones to become bread. You need it. You are starving, friend. A temptation to look after himself. The sin, however, will not lie in using his divine power, is to use his power to satisfy his own need. But the essence of the temptation is this: to doubt the goodness of God. God is good all the time. And that was the essence of the temptation. Let's see. God is good all the time. Amen. So, but now verse 4. Let's read together verse 4. But Jesus answered him, wow. I cannot understand. You know, for me, one of the most dangerous things for me is to fast. Okay? I'm confused. I need my food, okay? But I notice the power when I'm praying for something and you fast. Powerful, okay? 40 days. But Jesus did not doubt the goodness of God. Now let's apply it to us. My children are unwell. I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet. My wife is unwell. My husband. I'm having problems in the church. I'm having problems at work. It's endless, isn't it? But we need to trust that God is good. That is the temptation for Jesus. He's starving. And then, you know, victory over temptation is possible through what? Faith. So Jesus said, I'm going to believe what my Father says. I'm going to believe it. It is written. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. It seems to me that the supreme message of this history is not to love, that God has sympathy for you. There is a very old hymn written by Isaac Watts. Maybe you know it. Have you heard that hymn? Touch with a sympathy within. He knows our feeble frame. He knows what certain temptations mean, for he has felt the same. He has to feel it. His love for sinners is great. He said, I'm going to carry on. Man have no leave, by bread alone, by every word that comes from the mouth of God, from the word of God, every word of God. So when we feel unhappy, when we don't know what to do, you know what we say that what we need to do? To go to the word of God. Hence the importance of preaching the word of God. Not just mindfulness or kind of psychological things. The word of God will set people free. The word of God will set my children free. My grandchildren's. Not because I am nice to them. The word of God, read the Bible and we are going to be wise. Believe it and you are going to be safe. Practice it and you are going to be holy. Jesus believed it and he was safe. Jesus believed that God will supply his need. Are you struggling, my friend? Hold it. Hold it. Salvation is coming. Believe me. God can open heavens for you. The second temptation, the devil, maybe he's mad. He said, what am I going to do? What am I going to do with you? So carry on now. Let's read together. Satan tempted Jesus first to doubt his love. Now he tempts Jesus to doubt his plan. The second temptation is in his fear of earthly ambition. Verse 5 says, then the devil taking him up on a mountain high, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. How this happened. We are not told. Some people said that he was taken literally there. Some scholars said it is a vision. But it seems he sees all the kingdoms of the world. Satan shows his power and in a moment of time. I don't know how that happened. The word of God says that to me. I believe it. He's taken there. And then the force of the temptation is this, okay? Jesus Christ was supposed to rule the earth one day. You remember we read in one day, every knee shall bow in the name of Jesus. Every knee, every tongue will confess that he is Lord. So Satan is saying, he knows that. Okay, Jesus, you know what? Why do you have to go to the cross? I have the power. Yes, he's right. Again, half true, half life. Verse 6 says, and the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory. For this has been delivered to me and I will give it to whoever I wish. My friend, Satan is the prince of this world. He's ruling. He's ruling. But in Isaiah, we read that he was expelled from heaven. You know why? Because he wanted worship. And he and his angels, they are here, ruling. But he doesn't know, or maybe he knows, that it's not eternal. But he has an opportunity. He said, why do you have to go through this humiliation, Jesus? You don't have to do it. Okay, I will yield as long as I am recognized and worship. And as God is worshiped, God worships you worship the Father, the Holy Spirit. I want worship as well. So he says, therefore, verse 7, if you will worship before me, I will give you. It's yours. It's yours. Worship me, it will be yours. This is the temptations to do what? To compromise. Why you are setting your standards so high, Jesus? Let's come on. In your human nature, it sounds reasonable. Jesus said, wow, you know, there will be no humiliation. One government, we will be ecumenical. It will be peace on earth, Jesus. It's wonderful. Wonderful. It's reasonable. Christ reigning on earth. He will be, everyone is happy. Jesus will be the perfect ruler. You know what is the problem? There will be no victory over death. There will be no necessary for him to go to Calvary and be the propitiation. Is that not happening now? That we, no, don't mention sin. Oh, people will not come to church, Freddy. Well, no. That's the devil. Compromising. Jesus, it will be lovely to have all the people. You will be king. They are going to say that you are king. That was not God's plan. And Jesus answered to him, get behind me, Satan. Again, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and him alone. The danger of compromising in churches. There will be no necessary of Calvary. Don't preach the gospel. We see churches today, many churches joining with the politicians. Churches, they want to eradicate poverty, for example. And that's nothing wrong. Don't preach that message. That message is gloomy. Churches have to move with time. You know, and don't do it. Nobody will come to your churches. This is what Satan is proposing, Jesus. Don't focus on redemption. Don't preach about surrendering. Don't preach about forgiveness of sin. Don't mention those words. They are not politically correct anymore. Let's work for a better world. The most important is to be good, to be kind. Do not emphasize in the gospel of salvation. Don't do it, Jesus. But Christ sees you Christ is me. He said, I have to die on that cross. I'm going to take my cross and I'm going to die for my elect. One Bible scholar says, the tendency of the world is to see things in terms of an undetermined gray. But the duty of the Christian is to see in terms of black and white. Are we safe or unsafe? Are we with Jesus or against Jesus? Are we obedient or disobedient? Oh no, let's go in between. There is no between. Do you believe that? There is no between. I talked to you, and she knows her stuff, you know, about child protection and all that, you know. How do you feel when they try to do something that you know is wrong? I can see she get mad about it. If you are a doctor, you know what to do, and somebody comes pretending to be. How do you feel? How God will feel if the church is not doing what is right? Compromising. Jesus said, it is written. It is written. Get behind. Get behind. Shall we read together this verse? Get behind. That should be the message for Penrod and for any church. Get behind, he said. Oh no, but get behind. Are we going along the word of God, or we go against it? Oh, but we need to interpret. Don't do it. It's up to you. Jesus overcame. The final temptation is worse. The third temptation is this. Shall we read together the words in red? Wow. Satan gave up. Okay, I cannot help him to doubt Jesus, to doubt God. Now, the last temptation was in this fear of intellectual curiosity. This was the temptations to give the people sensations. Now, say, okay, believe in God. First, doubt. Now, believe in God. And this was the temptation to give the people sensations, what they want. You know, okay, believe in God. Let's, you know, okay, Jesus. Let's, verse 9, I'm going to read verse 9 to 11. So then Satan brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of the living God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, Satan is quoting the Bible, Psalm 91. We read it this morning. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Wow. This is the temptation when we place ourselves needlessly in a situation of a moral danger, and then we expect to be delivered by God. The essence of this temptation was to presume on God, to back him into a corner where he will be forced to act. Satan is using the scriptures to justify wrong. He's using the scriptures. Saying Psalm 91 is a messianic verse, but also applies to in general terms. So Satan is quoting the psalm, but not quoting the condition. You remember we read the condition this morning. The last verse says, if you love me, if you obey me. He quoted the scripture halfway. The condition, they say, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. But the condition to be in the secret chamber is obedience. And Jesus says, I'm going to obey. He have the power to do it. He knows that his angels can come. But he said, no, my role is to do that. I'm going to go there. And in verse 12 says, and Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. The answer is no, Satan. You must not make senseless experiments with me, with the power of God. He is quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16, when the people of Israel, they complained the lack of water, and the Lord was tempted. Don't tempt you, God. And it's the same with us. Now, my friend, this time of temptation is very dangerous. It's the most subtle temptation of the three, but because it sincerely encourages people to exercise their faith in God, but then they are so arrogant to demand from God. Have you seen that nowadays? Let's give you an example. Have you seen churches, prosperity churches, say, bring something to God, pray, and he will do it to you. And some people, some ministers, some preachers preach, I command in the name of Jesus, I declare. Who are we to declare? My Lord Jesus bowed his knees in Gethsemane and said, Father, may your will be done. This is Jesus, the Son of the living God. Some people say, well, God, I believe you. You are love. Oh, yes, God. But you need to accept me as I am. This is the way I am. You need to bless me. And if a preacher preach what the Bible says, they want to crucify the preacher. That is the temptation. Very soft. Oy, but they are believers. They believe in God. Do you see the temptation? In contrast to this false view of faith, true faith humbly submits to God's will. We are called to follow God. If we want to be his disciples, what is it that we are to do? To take up our cross. Don't preach that, Freddy. Pick up your cross. Follow me. My friends, we are called to follow Jesus if we want to be his disciples. He gave us the example to love him with all our hearts. We are to take our cross, but one day we are going to have a crown. You were singing that this morning, isn't it? Yes? How that crown will be? I don't know. But as I conclude today, let's apply this. Fighting temptation. Are you tempted? Every day. The first lesson is this, as I conclude this morning. That he tempts us to distrust, Satan tempts us to distrust God's love. What else? To doubt his plan and to presume on him. His love is by grace. In order to do this, Satan will twist the scripture. So don't be surprised that churches will be using these scriptures in order to be on that. I heard of a church who is doing evangelism about tattooing people. What? You open the Bible and say tattooing is sin. Period. You are hurting the temple of the Holy Spirit. No, but let's do it. Let's do it because, you know, you want to do it? Fine. I will not twist the scripture. You see, first, Satan tends us to distrust God's love, doubt his plan, and presume on him. He will change the scripture. Second, believers, we must be aware that the attack can happen at any time. Are you on a high? Like this pastor told me, that haunted me. Be careful, Freddy. Are you low? It will come. And finally, we need to remember the two weapons we have to defend ourselves. What are the two weapons we see here? Prayer and the Word of God. Jesus is praying and he is quoting the Word of God. My friends, I invite you as we enter into this new season of interaction to pray. Never depart from this book. Don't hear other people. You want to hear it? The hymn we are going to sing at the end, will you come and follow him if he calls you? Is Penral want to follow Jesus? Do you want to follow Jesus? Will you let his light be grown in you and he in you? That's a question that we need to answer. That's a question I have to answer. And our Lord Jesus left the pattern to follow. So believers must do the same. We must trust God's love, submit to his plan, and refuse to presume on his promises and grace. The hard way of service is hard. We are taking our cross and suffering least to the cross. We take your cross. Yes, yes, yes. But after the cross, the crown. Will you follow Jesus? Will we follow him? Somebody says, well, let me give you, I was not going to say this, but this picture came to me again and again before we sing. My father has been the pastor, I lost the count how many years I've been the pastor in that church now. And that was a very popular area. And my father did this, had Compassion International. Have you heard about Compassion and this kind? And he have, at one point, the Sunday school was 120 children. And they received the help. And one day, I was observing. I was not there anymore. I was in the Navy. I was married. And then I observed that there was one particular family, very needed. They had 3 children. And then the father complained that they were not doing enough. Can you imagine? So my father, I remember that day, I said, I came earlier and I was walking and he was telling the guys of Compassion, I don't want this anymore. I want the people who come to church will come because they love God and we are going to teach that book and we are going to do what we can. And he stopped it. And I said, wow, what's going to happen now? This family have 3 children, you know, and I knew their situation was precarious. And you know how many children came to the first Sunday service after that? 20 children. From 120 plus. Just children. And I hear him, we are going to preach the gospel, we're going to preach the gospel. You know what? Just to cut, the father died. The children carry on coming with their mom. Mom got baptized years after. 2 of the children came to know the Lord. They are serving the church. You know what they do? They preach the gospel. They have everything. They got good marriages. And the other girl that was a little bit dubious, and you know, I always say, Juan, isn't it? He came to know the Lord a few years ago. But I remember one day she saying, I had a very hard life. Now she understands that she did not obey. My point, my friend, is prayer and scripture will take us to where God wants us to be. We can do charity, we can be good, but the most important is salvation. Because one day we are going to die and we need to be ready. Are we ready? Will you come and follow him? We're going to sing our last hymn. The musicians are coming to get ready. Let's spend a moment in silence. Answering that question, will you come and follow him? Jesus went and followed his father. He did not doubt his love. He did not doubt his plan. He just trusts him. Let us pray before the musicians get ready. Heavenly Father, help us to follow you. Help us never doubt your love. Help us never to compromise your word. And help us, Lord, just to trust in you. Father, I pray for that person this morning that is struggling. That may your Holy Spirit give him peace. And the assurance that you are going to be with her or with him. So she or he will take his or her cross and will enjoy your crown one day. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.